had a terrible, terrible concussion last week. And if you're one of those people that was making up those stories last week on because you're bored, I mean, I can't help you. I don't even understand that. Bino, what about Nigel Warrior and the way he wants to be out there?
I think it's just another indication that they found a real football player, Tony. I'll be surprised if that kid isn't really special here.
It's amazing with all the injuries we have in our back line, you can't get him out there.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well, Tony. Really surprised.
I mean, that's the odd thing, right? The odd thing.
Yeah.
865-200-5402. My question for next week's game, and I'm not going to get into it here because I want to admire this team, but I also want to not cast undue pressure on them, is how much gas do you have left after coming out of a game like that?
Yeah.
And I know these games don't relate from week to week, but what we saw last year after the Florida game, and I'm concerned this is going to happen here because it was a road game, a physical road game last year at Alabama. Tennessee came back and got thoroughly beat up in the Arkansas game last year.
Yeah. And it's an odd situation, Tony, for us to play seven straight games without an open date. That's an oddity in my lifetime in this program. We've almost always had one open date at least before Alabama. So, and I know they played straight through to us last year and they're doing the same this year, but, it's a new thing for us. That'd be a difficult thing for a team that wasn't fairly depleted. So.
To Twitter, Patrick Doyle Dotson says, you want to ban me for asking you to address the turnover problem. No, I don't want to ban you. You're just giving me a headache. Stop it. I said if you don't stop it, I'm going to ban you. I didn't ban you, and I don't want to ban you. What do you mean I want to? I've never banned anybody in my life outside of one caller. He said, what is the biggest problem for the Vols this year? Turnovers. And then he writes, and I wanted to be a sponsor. Yeah, sure you did, Patrick. Sure you did.
Tony, I don't know what more we can say about the turnovers.
Right. Like me to say? There's too many of them.
It's uncharacteristic of Butch Jones' teams, and there have been way too many of them this year, and that they have to clean up that, and they have to clean up the penalties.
Patrick, are you happy?
Play.
Patrick, are you happy? Are you happy?
It's obvious that if we wouldn't have had seven turnovers, we would have won today.
Shane Reed, Sushi Spot Shane, who is a sponsor, Patrick, not to be confused with you, he's actually a sponsor, said, okay, Volfather says, Butch has already said Kirk will be back next week. Okay, good. I'm glad he's coming back. So Butch always tells the truth on injuries, right? Okay, I'm glad. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be back. He might be back. He might be back. Sushi Spot Shane, who is a sponsor, Shane Reed. Bino, if there's a little bit of weather called for next week, why don't we try to get the games postponed?
Yeah, I would call it off for a wind advisory.
Exactly.
No, I'm Tony.
Tell them we have like a flu virus going through our team.
I told you before, I'll tell you again. I would be sick if I was a Florida fan with the way that they handled themselves down there. It's obvious they didn't want to play the football game. That was the main concern. Had nothing to do with the hurricane or them being worried about people's health. It didn't. That had nothing to do with it. They used that in order not to play a football game.
Yeah.
I would rather Tennessee not make it to Atlanta as to make it that way if Florida makes it down there.
Patrick, I want you to know something. I like you. I like you. And I'm not picking at you. We've done good business in the past. I mean, not that you're a sponsor, but I just mean on Twitter, and you've always comported yourself like a fine individual. But if you ask me one more time about those damn turnovers, Patrick, I'm not the coach of the team. I don't know what to say about the turnovers. I don't know what to say about the team. Let's go back to our phones.
Hey, Tony, I believe in karma. I do not believe that Florida's going to get down there. I believe they're a chicken hockey program, and I think they're not only going to lose one more conference game, I believe they're going to lose two. But if for some reason they do not replay this game and they get down there in Atlanta, I believe in karma, they will get the absolute hell beat out of them because they don't belong there.
Well, of course.
And I will sit there. I'll get almost as much enjoyment out of that as I would watching us play down there.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Florida State and Miami. Florida State with a 20-13 lead. They've got the ball deep in their own territory late, facing 2nd and 13. And I'll go back to the phones, get our next call in. All lines are currently jammed on your Smartway Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. Welcome in.
Tony, Mike Carver.
Mikey Boy Carver, how was your trip, my friend?
Just on the way to Houston from College Station, what an experience. But, you know, a couple things. One, great show tonight. What a great experience. Texas A&M, very special place. Typical SEC Saturday afternoon, one of the greatest experiences ever. The fans rivaled Notre Dame as far as being knowledgeable and great people, just beautiful fans, beautiful stadium. Their band was fantastic. The atmosphere was incredible for anybody that, it was always on my bucket list because of all the traditions, but Texas A&M's a special place. And, a great, you know, this was probably the greatest comeback. Even greater than the Florida comeback in the fact that we were on the road coming from 21 points down and to make that comeback. And we had a chance, you know. He could have gone for two. I'm not going to criticize that. These guys played their hearts out.
Oh, no.
And I, that was a tough call. You know, we got the penalty. We're on the one. I mean, I don't think we had anything to lose there, but I tell you what, these kids, from what they did today, they gained, you know, almost 700 yards in offense, 7 turnovers, against an undefeated team. The crowd was in a frenzy. I don't know if you can see it on TV, but with all the injuries and turnovers, that was a 5-hour game. This crowd went full steam. I mean, they were loud, but they were courteous. Cordial, but the Tennessee, if you're not proud of this team after today, buddy, we had injury after injury. They laid it on the line.
Yeah.
Josh Dobbs, I don't know if it's been a long time. We've had so many great ambassadors to this program, but Josh Dobbs, he's as good an ambassador for this football program as I can remember. This guy is. He is a class act, and we had so many players that made so many great plays today, and we had a lot of things that went against us. And, you know, the turnovers is part of it, but we had some tough calls, man. I mean,
how about the fumble? You know, how about the fumble they don't look at to start the game? But here's the thing I was going to ask you about that game and about that crowd and how they stayed in there. Yeah. You saw one of the more memorable games, and very seldom do you have a loss, Mike, where you walk out of there going, man, I'm so proud of my football team. I've really only felt like that a handful of times. But one game that specifically comes to mind, and you mentioned Notre Dame before, was the Notre Dame game in 90 in Neyland Stadium. That is my game where I walked away from that going, man, I am so darn proud. I am so darn proud of my team. Beano, are you watching the Miami game? I want to make a point here. Beano, are you watching
the
Miami? Beano, did you see that targeting call that they just called on the captain from Miami, which was an absolutely horrible call? And now the Miami fans are littering the field with bottles. They're throwing everything they can get their hands on. Miami just got completely screwed and the end zone is completely littered. I mean, they are littering the end zone there. Before we go back to Mike's call, Bino, what did you think of that call there?
I actually thought they were going to call taunting rather than targeting. So I'm surprised that targeting was called, not only that it was called, but that it was upheld. I thought the flag was taunting, which probably should have been called. But
And
that goes against my home field deal there, so that's obviously happened to Miami on their home field.
And they just totally littered the field. Mike, did you? I know you're kind of a lingerer. Did you get a chance to visit with any of the? And you're a social guy. Did you get a chance to visit with any of the A&M people after the game and kind of get their thoughts on what they saw?
Well, I've got one in the car with me. That's well, I've got two A&M fans in the car with me as I travel back to Houston. But the targeting call was a tough call. I mean, I was sitting in the middle of all A&M. It was very, I was right next to the team. I mean, I was on, I guess, there's been about 40 people sent me pictures on TV. I was right, like, second row right behind the Tennessee team. So, very close. The targeting call was really tough. There were some other calls that just could have gone either way, and they went against us. But that's why I'm so proud today. I mean, you know, down 21, nobody left the stadium. I mean, this place was, this was as loud as it gets in SEC football. And this band they have, I mean, it's a core band. I mean, these guys, it was loud and it was intense and it was forever. And for our guys down 21, to come back and the play they made on the 2 yard line when we made them fumble and then come back down and score. You know, you're not going to see any more characters than that, in college football. So I was just real proud of the team. We had a lot of stars today and, we're beat up. I mean, well, I've never seen that many injuries ever on a Tennessee team in one game. I mean, you probably know better than I do, but you know, next week, I don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, I know this crowd's going to be into it. I told you last week when I called, I thought our shot was better, against Alabama, and I think you probably thought maybe different, and you, I think you were right, I was probably wrong. We certainly had a chance today. But,
look, if you don't, to your point, obviously you're right. Because if you don't turn the ball over six times, let's just say you have three turnovers. Let's just say it's a moderate amount of turnovers. You win the game. In fact, you win the game handily.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm looking at this 3 hours and 15 minutes into our show here, and it's been 3 hours since the game ended, and if I was to tell you, I mean, we turned the ball over seven times. I keep calling it six. And we fell behind three scores, and I keep calling it two. And we've had so many things that we had to overcome in that game, and it's just, it's incredible.
We had seven turnovers, but the targeting call was a turnover.
Right.
In my book,
that's
we
right.
had eight turnovers.
That's right.
And,
that's a great way of putting it.
And we had 21, we were down 21, but it wasn't like we're in Neyland where everybody's behind us. I mean, we had the world against us down here. So,
I love our team.
Anyway.
This group right here is going to be remembered with that 85 team before this year's over.
I totally agree. It's just unbelievable. But I don't know who we got left. I mean, I know we carried off, there had to be four, five, six players put it this way, you know, the program, away programs are too deep at every position. Half the numbers on defense, none of them were in the program. And I didn't, you know, I had the A&M program, so hell, I didn't know who they were. I mean, there were so many different numbers, but none of them were in the 2D, in the program. So, and even on offense, you know, we had linemen go down and they
unbelievable.
Go back in and go back down.
Unbelievable.
It was just one of those days. But anyway, if you're not proud to be a Tennessee Volunteer today, you know, you probably got some, might want to take a good look at yourself. I'm proud to be a volunteer today, as always. But A&M, I want to tell you what, if you ever get a chance, it's a special place. And if you got kids out there looking at school, Tennessee be number one. But I tell you what, this is a special place. You need that. Tony, I appreciate you and Beano both. Thanks for taking my call. Can't wait to see you next week. I'll be in Circle Park next week.
Love Can't wait. I'll be over there. You know I'll be all there. Right. See you, brah.
Thanks, Mike.
865.
You know, Tony,
the
sad thing about this league setup is I would have liked to have had an opportunity to go to Kyle Field. I've obviously never been there. Right. I'd like to try to go to all the SEC stadiums at least once. I'm 60. I probably won't have an opportunity. We don't play them again until 2023, and that one will probably be in Knoxville. There's no telling when we'll go back to Kyle Field. I promise you I'll be too old to do it.
865-200-5402. Trent Shadid tweeting the following. Fan arrested for yelling at Belima. If I had your record, I'd be effing fired. F you. When being taken out of their stadium tonight, Beano, he told the police, I teach at Arkansas. Arkansas, taken Arkansas a quarter century, but they're now officially a Southeastern Conference member. It's time for us, ladies and gentlemen, to share with you a little bit about what we do here at the Tony Basilio Radio Family. Here we go.
You're listening to the wildest and wooliest post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. With your host, Tony Basilio. Tony needs to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for more of the fifth quarter. If you're new to the world of Tony Basilio, welcome to the nerve center of the Big Orange Universe. It starts with TonyBasilio.com. If you want the truth, and nothing but the truth, on what's going on at the University of Tennessee, TonyBasilio.com's your place, and it's absolutely free. Unlike other sites, Tony doesn't hide the good stuff behind a paywall. TonyBasilio.com. It's all out there for you. Strong recruiting information and analysis from X. Insider information from the Vol Colonel and Orange Throat. Sharp opinions from basketball expert Keith Hatfield and all-around sports guy Jeff Beano Henderson. And, of course, no one brings it online like Tony Basilio, with a lot of good emails from his fans. Then, Monday through Friday, it's the best 2 hours of sports radio for a Vol fan, as the Tony Basilio Show airs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 1180 a.m. the VLC, and the Tony Basilio app. Tony has great co-hosts like Beano on Mondays and Fridays, and Dr. Sean Sinclair dishes on Vol football every Wednesday. Sometimes Tony just can't stop in 2 hours. That's when the Fairways and Greens 19th hole kicks in. But you need the Tony Basilio app on your smartphone or tablet to listen when things get really cranked up. Nobody keeps the Big Orange fan up to date and in the know like Tony Basilio. Now, back to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fan Reaction. And your host, who's been keeping it real for the Big Orange Universe for nearly a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Basilio.
Thanks, Mash. As we reached, ladies and gentlemen, into 3 hours, 25 minutes in. Be excited. Be excited. Tennessee today loses 45-38. I've never been more proud of a team in my life. And as I said, Beano, today made me feel like the 90 Notre Dame game, though that game was here. My mind is blown. Being
smart. That's absolutely great comparison, Tony. Absolutely great comparison. And it even goes above and beyond that because of just how beat up this team is. And it just doesn't change anything. It doesn't change their heart. It doesn't change their drive. It doesn't change their ability to come back. It's just amazing.
You know, somebody,
Tony, that's the greatest promo in history. I heard my name twice in that one promo. But now that you've done it, I'm giving you my 40-minute warning. You are the Tennessee of the post-game show. I'm Florida. 12:30, I'm out of here.
Beano is playing with the energy of Rick Barnes tonight.
No.
Rick Barnes was done at 12:30 this afternoon.
Come on, Tony. I've given you a better effort than that.
Some clown on Periscope just said I'm under 1,000. Hey, dude, this is my third Periscope here. It's actually about close to 5,000 as we total them up here. Because I couldn't take comments earlier. We had to stop it. Somebody just said weekend at Beano's. Notorious NIC says the app is amazing. Where's Russell tonight? Russell needed a night off for family. And we love Russell. Honky Lips is telling me, caller pay. Say Honky Lips. Try coming with a name other than Honky Lips, and I'll listen to your caller pace play.
Greg Spanky deciding when Russell's on here and when he's not?
Steven said these people on here talking about A&M's great tradition and atmosphere are killing me. Boy cheerleaders and cult behavior are great now. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Smartway, Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, Tony, Vino, this is Randy. How you doing?
Hey, Randy, great to hear your voice, man.
Hey, these last three games, I've been a fan. I'll be 49 here in a few days. I'm your age, Tony, and these last three games have been three of the most exciting games in Tennessee history. And I'm just so proud of our team and our coaches. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things I thought we could have done to win this game. It was the very first drive that A&M had that they threw the interception that Berry Jr. caught. Mm-hmm. And what would Steve Spurrier had done at that point?
Oh, he has number 15.
He'd have chucked it down the field.
To number 15. It would have been very simple,
exactly.
And it would have been 6 points.
That's exactly what I thought they should have done, and if that didn't work, I would have run that zone read and not had any possibility of handing it off to Kamara and let Dobbs run the ball. We didn't do that once on that drive. When we get these turnovers, especially early in a game, we have to capitalize on these turnovers. That was a critical point in the game. Another thing that happened, Kamara, he had that beautiful 55-yard screen. He runs down to their just about 5-yard line. And I don't want to be critical of Kamara after the game that he had, but in my opinion, he should have just fallen down or he should have run out of bounds at that point. There was no need to fight and let them strip the ball to gain an extra yard. He should have just laid down when he got down there and there was guys surrounding him, or he should have just went out of bounds.
You know, but here's the thing. Real easy for us to say. The guy's playing with his freaking heart on his sleeve, giving it all he has. I mean, it wasn't smart, but I'll live with hustle plays, and that's the hustle play. I mean, it wasn't a smart play, but it's a hustle play.
Yeah, I said earlier, and you can throw Josh right in there too. You know, Josh had two fumbles he could have fallen on. Instead, he tried to make a play, and you're right. Any one of those, we would have won the game. But give me guys making mistakes, trying to compete too hard, rather than guys that are brain dead.
I agree. I want to talk about our first touchdown, the trick play that we ran. And was it Jennings? The ball. I'm trying to remember what happened. Was Jennings? We snapped the ball to him, and he threw the ball to Kamara. Dobbs.
I believe we snapped it to Kamara. He pitched to
Jennings who threw
on a reverse, and Jennings threw to Dobbs. I believe that's the way that went.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Beautiful.
We sent Dobbs in motion and did a direct snap to Kamara.
It was picture perfect, guys, and it was a great call.
And, I tell you what, you know, the way the game went down and Warrior has to miss the first half of the next game, in my opinion, it was worth it. Because if you watch that play in slow motion where he hits the 12th man, the guy that was running his jaw the entire game, he just about knocked the guy's head completely off. It was just like something Dale Carter would do.
No question.
And I don't understand. Well, he hasn't been back there all year in a nickel or something. I mean, that guy, I mean, if you can hit like that, and you know he's got speed like his father, but that was the hit of the game.
It all got lost in the translation. Somebody's asking if that was a first half hit. Was that a first half or second
half?
Yeah, I
believe that's a first half
so
hit,
he,
Randy,
so he plays next week.
He'll be eligible at the start of the next game.
Yep. It was an absolute decleating shot, nasty. It was not cheap. I look at that play and say, and just like this play in the Miami game, you know, in the Miami game, you just had a shoulder hit, and they called targeting, and they reviewed it, and still threw the kid out. And it was shoulder to shoulder. They should have come back after looking at it and gone, no call. And then Florida State just blocked an extra point.
Extra point.
That is unbelievable, that series right there. And that's college football, guys. It is a crazy, crazy game. It's crazy.
Hey, Randy, I'm not saying that the Tennessee staff condones targeting.
Yeah.
But that type of aggressive play on a special teams is what gets you on the field in defensive sets. So I'll be surprised if down the stretch we don't see Warrior play in that secondary.
I'll tell you another call that went against us in the game, guys. Kelly Jr. had another pick late that was overturned, and they showed they called it that he intercepted the ball, then they overturned it. But when I kept watching the replay, I couldn't really tell that it looked like the ball hit his hands and hit his chest, and I don't see how they overturned that call.
Oh, I thought it was all over the ground. I disagree with that.
I thought the ball bounced, Tony.
Yeah,
I did think the ball bounced, but I didn't think, once it was called an interception on the field, I'm not sure that they had enough to overturn it.
You know, and that's a great point that you and the caller bring up, because the live action, I saw the ball bounce.
Yeah, I thought it bounced.
But if you can't see it in the replay, it doesn't matter what you thought. And I'm just telling you what I thought I saw. Now,
those
are two different conversations. Those are two different conversations because it's almost like being in a court of law. All of a sudden, it's like, well, what's the evidence? And I don't care what you think you saw. What's the evidence? And you got a good point there to our caller. That's a pretty good point.
Also, we had Malone had several drops.
Oh my gosh!
Some gimmies.
Drives me nuts.
Kroom's drop. Did Kroom have a drop, Bino, that resulted in an interception?
Yes, that's right.
Just an easy catch.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
he's wide open
into an interception.
Yes,
but from all the plays where Foreman has cost us big, the Easton pass last week. He made some boneheaded plays early today, got burnt, but that was the play of the game. I mean,
he made that play.
Bino,
Foreman's actually two completely different players.
Yeah.
He makes as many big plays as he does mistakes, but you just don't know which guy you've got out there from one play to the next. But I will never forget the play he made tonight. Never.
This is what we're going for. If I'm Butch Jones, somebody said earlier that the play on Barry would be a great highlight film for targeting. If I'm Butch Jones, I'd say to any future recruit, this is what we want. We want people to never quit. We want people to never quit. No, that Foreman play. I want people like that on my football team.
Absolutely.
Want people like that in my business. I want people like that in my life. That was an amazing play, man. Anybody can be a front runner. Run me down. Show me you're never going to quit.
Well,
amazing
that guy was
play.
Hot-dogging a little bit, I think. I don't think he was running full speed. He kind of slowed up maybe a little bit. And
we've seen a lot of
Foreman
that, haven't we?
Came in there and made a play.
Yep.
But anyway, love your show, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Randy.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. So many things to be so proud of today. That's one of them. Really gave yourself a chance to win. You're looking at that play and you're going, well, we're down 14 points, game's over. Game's over. And then you wake up, you look up, and all of a sudden, the ball's in the end zone at the other end, and it's a tie game. Now me, I'm so crazy, and this is crazy. I'm going for two there. I'm ending the game. I'm going, you know what? We were just going to make it 14. We were just down 14 a second ago. The game was over. I'm scoring. And when I score, we're going for two. We're going to win the game. That's what I would have done. Because your defense is fried. That's me. I'm not second-guessing the coaching.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
I'm not second-guessing.
I believe that's a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'm not second-guessing. I'm just saying that's my opinion. That's what I would have done. I'm not saying Butch Jones did the wrong thing. You know what? I think the guys feel. I think he's a little less chart-oriented this year. Now, he hasn't really had a chance to show it. Because we haven't been in one of those nail-biting games. Like today's game even wasn't a nail-biter. Today's game was we're playing catch-up from three touchdowns down. We haven't been in one of those, it's 17-13 for 3.5 quarters and he does something zany. We haven't been in that spot yet. Have we, Beano?
No, we haven't, Tony. But, we talked about how we've seen a lot of complete differences from what we saw in Oklahoma last year and the way that we've approached things.
I agree with that.
I don't believe there's any question that Butch is getting a better feel, and I think he learns from his mistakes. He may not claim he made a mistake on Monday, but he's deep down he knows that he would do it differently, and he has. Hey, we need to give Aaron Medley some props tonight. I mean, there's a guy that they didn't have a single opportunity to return a kick, and that's a big play football team.
Absolutely.
That we played tonight. Big, big chunk football team, a team that with a lot of return potential, and we didn't give up anything basically in the special teams.
Tennessee with 114 return yards in that game, and A&M with none. Mm-hmm. And as Butch Jones makes a point, he calls them hidden yardage. People laugh at that. It really is true. I mean, you do that consistently over the course of games, you'll win games. They almost won tonight. Ricky Jean, not Francois, hands Miami their first loss. Miami loses 20-19. Painful as it is on a blocked extra point with a minute left in the game.
That Francois kid had an Air McNair game that they beat him to death in that football game. And he just kept on keeping up.
Byron 865 is really hot here on the Periscope. He said we need hidden points, not hidden yards. Everybody's a commodian. Everybody's a commodian at this late hour. I'm surrounded by commodians. Speaking of which, Jerry Colquitt will be up here in about 20. And he's a complete commodian. Matt Jarvis says, remember A&M was offside on the extra point before we kicked. We could have gone for it from the 1 yard line, going for two. And you know, that was lost on me when I was talking about it. I wish I was that brilliant, or I didn't realize that. I would have gone for two anyway, but you put the ball in the 1 yard line, and with the way we're playing, I'm going for two. I'm putting the ball in Astro Dobbs' hands, and I'm saying, brother, because here's the thing he would have done. If he had to, he would have run over one of those All-America defensive ends. He'd run your ass over to get that 1 yard. Am I lying, Beano?
No, you're not lying. Now, he may not have got the opportunity to carry the ball, but you're not lying.
Back to the phones we go. A lot of like tweets here. Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Scott Smith said that Rick Barnes didn't make it to the third quarter. He caught the early bird special over at Western Sizzlin'. Now he's taking a nap. How about that? Brocky wants to know the number of yards gained on Chavy Wavy's defense. Taking a shot at my man CeeLo. Come on, guys. Now, the guy in our media that has a crush on Chavis is Mike Griffith. And, Griff, I love you. But, brother, your love for Chavis is unhealthy. It is unhealthy.
Didn't Griff tell us on the show once that not only was he great defense coordinator, but he was out picking up garbage or something?
No, that was Fulmer. Philip Fulmer was out picking out garbage on the campus. That was Philip Fulmer.
Who was? I believe it's Chavis.
No, I think it was Fulmer picking up garbage. But we can have some listeners corroborate that. And also, B.O.B. on our point about how the league is Bama-centric because it's in Bama and they go to church together and they worship together and their kids go to school together. And if you do anything that screws Bama, brother, you're going to hear about it in the SEC office because everybody's a Bammer. Everybody's a Bama. He said, that's absolutely the case. I lived in Birmingham and that's right. So he said, you're right about that. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. On your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. And MD Lou says, I hate Bama fans. I don't know if I hate them. I'm just sick and effing tired of them winning. Is that okay? Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome in. That would mean you. Yes. Let's do this again. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
I was just going to comment on some of the things in the game tonight.
Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
I'm only 15, and I live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where Juwan and Jack Jones are from, but I haven't seen that many teams. But this team has a heart like no other, and they do not quit for anything. I mean, God, down 21 to Florida, and now tonight. And I remembered when they were 2 minutes left in the game tonight with three timeouts. So what, were we down 14?
Correct, 14.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago when they played at South Carolina. We were down 42-28 in Dobbs with 2 minutes and three timeouts, let them back down the field, and they went to overtime and won that game.
There's absolutely no question. And it doesn't matter if you're 21 or 61. You won't see many Tennessee football teams with the moxie this one has.
You won't see, no, and you won't see too many games like the last 3 weeks we've had, guys. I mean, this is all-time great stuff we've seen.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, sir, I agree. I mean, this team, they don't quit for anything. I don't care if they lose next week or whatever happens with Bama, I'm proud of them because, I mean, they do not quit for anything. I mean, all these injuries, and they're still fighting from behind. And I mean, 106,000 in that crowd tonight, and they down 21 points again, just like Florida. And the crowd, like you said earlier, is against us this time, not behind us. And, look, heck, they still came back. And Malik Foreman, incredible play last week against Georgia, gave up on that play with 10 seconds. And then tonight, he didn't quit on that play, and he's the reason we even went to overtime because he went back down the field and knocked that ball out.
You know, think about this. You're 15 years old, okay? Is that what you just told me?
Yes, sir.
You present yourself very well for somebody 15 years of age. Take a bow,
young
man.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But let me say this.
I feel like I'm stumbling.
No, you're doing great. Let me say this to you. Now, you think about this for a second. As somebody who's, and you're sports-minded, I'm going to assume you've played on a team before. If you go through a game like the one we've been through where a guy who's one of your team leaders, and Danny O'Brien, is literally taken out on a board. Okay?
Yeah.
You come back from that. Dylan Wiseman looked like a vicious shot to his head. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And you have to overcome that. You turn the ball over 7 times in a road game where you're undefeated, a game that's on CBS television. You have to overcome that.
Yeah.
McDowell gets his bell rung. You have to overcome that.
Even Evan Berry on the kickoff, which
Evan Berry
thought that was targeting.
Total targeting, and you don't get that call. You have to overcome the lack of a call on Josh Dobbs where they call, it's an obvious incompletion, and that results in 7 points for them. My point is, Tennessee overcame so much tonight that my head is swimming. Just thinking about it. I can't imagine being in a game that's that long and they just continued to get up. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I know you're only 15. I have a few years on you. And man, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that you'll ever see another game like that again, that a team can go through that much and be in it.
In it. 7 turnovers. I mean, there's no other team. You can't tell me there's another team in the country that can turn the ball over 7 times, have that many injuries, and still find a way to get back in that game.
No doubt about it.
Quit.
These guys refuse. They absolutely refuse to quit. And let me ask you another question. Juwan Jennings, how proud is that area of that young man? I bet he's a complete rock star in that community.
Yeah, I mean, he's the talk of it. Him and Jack, I mean,
and Jack's
I remember
awesome.
Him playing each other because he played, Juwan played for Blackman High School.
That's right.
Jack Jones played for Oakland. That's where I go. And I remember them playing, and I mean, they're just stars. They shine on the field. I mean, we're so proud of them, especially Juwan, just the last two games and even today.
I'll tell you what, Jack Jones, very quietly, he's got the dog in him. He's another one that Beano talks about. Cat's got some dog, baby.
Oh, yeah. I think he should have been starting from the beginning of the season. He's done a tremendous job since he first stepped on campus there. I'm so proud of him, too.
Appreciate the call, man. I hope you have a great night. And,
hey, it's a great call. Thank you.
Wonderful call. Let's hear from you again, okay?
Yes, sir. Good talking to you.
Hey, thank you. Let's, Beano, how about this? I'm telling you, this Florida thing has got me pissed off right now. You ready to hear? And I'm not trying to make light of this, okay? One of Arkansas's best defenders, linebacker Dre Greenlaw, might be their best defensive player, likely done for the year with a broken foot in tonight's game.
Man.
It just, I don't know. It's just frustrating. Is it okay to say that?
Sure. It's absolutely okay to say that.
How about Virginia Tech rolling North Carolina like a joint cigarette today? That win looks pretty good right now.
Absolutely looks good. Most of our opponents, Tony, have gone on to make this season look even more special than it's been so far.
Let's hope Florida doesn't fall into that category. Beano, before we go back to the phones, I was going to ask you something and then I forgot. That's generally a sign that I've been at the party too long. That was a great call from that 15-year-old young man. Let's get the next call in here. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Tony, Beano, it's Jack. What's up?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Great to talk to you.
Guys, great effort today. I mean, we did. We didn't take care of the ball, but we did everything else pretty damn well. And I'm proud to be a Tennessee Vol fan. And really, you know, if a couple things go our way, we beat them by two touchdowns, maybe three. So, you know, we were the better team. You know, we didn't win, but that's how it went. But hopefully we can fight next week, and you never know. And, you know, we can still maybe be in the playoff contention.
You know,
but, Tony, what's Rick Barnes been doing?
I'll tell you what, man, I mean, today I probably slept in till about, because last week, the Florida game, I'm proud to report he left at halftime, which was good. I mean, it's good that he stayed till halftime. I think it's pretty cool. Guy's really hustling. Said his team's one of the best in the country, and to which Beano replied when he had that line, Beano said, which country? I'm thinking if Tennessee basketball can somehow get into the Fiji Islands, they might be able to win the national championship of the Fiji Islands.
Yeah, we might be able to beat Chaminade.
Yes, the Silver Swords, who Rick Barnes has a losing record against Lifetime, if you look that up, by the way.
But, I mean, seriously, though, I mean, we have to do so. I mean, basketball's around the corner, and, you know, football's fine. Our football's in great shape, but, you know, we have to do something about this basketball team.
Oh, it's...
Dave Hart has completely wrecked
the He's destroyed it.
Program.
Yeah, the Tindall hire was destruction, and then subsequently what happened, and then the whole Barnes thing is just, it's a disaster. I mean, I'm sorry. And people are on me. You know, here's the thing. People were really on me like 8 months ago when I started saying that. I don't seem too crazy right now, do I?
I wasn't thinking about the hire to begin with because it just told me that they're not investing in a future for this program. So they're just taking some cheap cheap route with it, which they always usually do. They got lucky with Bruce Pearl, but, you know, it's usually the mid-major route. It's never, hey, let's try to throw our money at someone. But, what about the Volcats?
Did you bring the Volcats up?
I brought the Volcats up, Tony.
Have a great day. I hate the Volcats. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. I want to Voleve and Rick Barnes. I Voleve that Butch Jones is killing himself. And I
Tony?
Yes.
Are you from Michigan or are you from Pennsylvania? If you say Voleve one more time, I'm going to slap the taste out of your mouth.
Well, it's like Believe.
It's Voleve.
Okay. Voleve. I'm sorry. Let's try this again. I Voleve.
There you go.
That's a good point, Bina. Why am I saying I was saying
I don't know. Did you got some Michigander in you?
The Michiganders do call it the Vols, don't they?
Yeah, that, apparently when they give of their time freely, they volunteer.
The Michiganders are the worst. Except not our head coach. I love our head coach. But generally, I mean, if you go down to Teleco, those of you that are outside the area, we've got a little village called Teleco Village, and Teleco Village is inhabited by people who have come down from the Midwest, and they will remind you time and time again of how much smarter they are than you and your grace to be in their presence. And to them, I say, go right back home. Let's go back to the, and I'm loving. I want to be loving toward you if you're a Michigander and an Ohioan. I just find you to be an obnoxious Yankee. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, you're on the Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Tony, this is Bobby from West Tennessee again.
Hey, Bobby, welcome in.
And I just want to say I'm very proud of this team. It's one of the few times I've watched us lose, and I felt like we won the game. Last time I was in school there, it was like 76, 38, 35, Georgia beat Tennessee. Battle kicked on, quick kicked on third down. Holloway was livid, but I talked to him about it at the last lap. You probably don't remember that place.
Absolutely. I had a pop or two at the last lap.
Wonderful place. Wonderful school. I didn't really have much to say. I just want to call in and congratulate the Vols. I'm proud of them. I think, you know, win or lose next week, I'm proud of this team. I think they've shown more core gut than any team I've seen in so many times. And I'm the guy that orgasmed through his fingers last weekend. But I don't do that tonight. I'm just saying I'm very proud of them. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And great hearing from you tonight. And that's really well put. And it needs to be said over and over again. Headline tomorrow, according to Sam McMillan, Agony, Aggie, A-G-G-I-E, hyphen NY of defeat. That's well done.
Yeah, very good.
Well done. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in. This is, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to take the calls as long as they come in tonight. And I do want to say that we're also open to, if you would like to leave us a tip, go to TonyBasilio.com. Listeners suggested that last week. Really appreciate the generosity and helps us offset what has been a year where, let's see, I'm not going to whine to you, but I just tell the truth, and Bino knows this off the air, working harder than I ever have now at this and kind of making less. It's funny how that happens, but I'm only one person, and I can't split myself into like nine people. I'd love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, that does not work. It's called you will end up in the hospital, as many of you know. And let's go back, and I'm prone to that if that's what drives me. Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yeah, hello. Welcome in. Okay. Bye-bye to that person. Let's get our next call in on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Tony and Bino.
Yes.
Hey, Brian and Asheville. How
hey, Brian doing? And Asheville.
Hey,
welcome
Brian.
In, man.
How are you? What's up, guys? I agree with everything. Don't want to repeat too much. Couple of, did this Sankey guy sitting here on SEC Network talking to Dari or whatever, and he's like annoyed about even doing an interview and being there. I mean, what a joke. he looks like a Florida Gator, like he's, yeah. Let's move the SEC Network to Atlanta where the weather channel's located, if it takes that conglomerate just to get this right. What a joke.
I'm telling you, man, the legal office, as long as it's in Birmingham, you're going to continue to see half-hearted, horrible, ham-handed decisions like this one. I mean, and Bino used to tell me this all the time, and I didn't believe him. I called him a conspiracy theorist. He'll tell you that. He's absolutely right. It's 84 degrees today. It was sunny, and every high school team in Gainesville played a game last night. And Jeremy Foley wanted us to believe that they were going to bring BA some kind of triage center for Hurricane Katrina. I mean, that is a joke.
Yeah. Well, and thank you. I agree. And thank you that they're talking about safety first. Well, except for spearing and targeting and these referees. And I don't understand the whole indefensible player or whatever it is. But so a quarterback outside the pocket running is a defensible player. I mean, he's not indefensible. I mean, what a complete. It's gotten weird. It's gotten weird. But one thing we didn't bring up was that Trapuka. Or my puka, in other words, that punter that tried to give the game away, can they not flag him for just being a jackass over there when he goes off trying to get a call when he totally just fake dived and got hit by his own player and stuff? What a joke.
Apparently not. If you could get thrown out for being a jackass, he and 12 would have got run in the first quarter.
12, seriously, need to get his eye crossed and his eye dotted and his T crossed. And I'm telling you, Nigel Warrior about crossed his T and came very close to dotting his eye.
That should have been the play of the game. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if anything, it's payback if it gets us fired up. But the saddest thing about this team, which we're going to win next week, but if we go through this season and don't put a full game together, mistake free, with playing to our potential.
Yep.
And then they just ran a thing across the bottom line where we've lost our last 25 straight games against top 10 ranked opponents, which maybe that's not a big deal being how horrible we've been for the past decade and we play in the SEC, but you know, you're going to have a bunch of those, but that's why we're going to win next week against skanky Bama. And Bama knows, I think Bama knows something's coming because they've got the big long win streak now. I don't know how we're going to do it with injuries, but we're going to do it somehow. And the fans, our 12th fan is going to pull up through.
You know what? Here's the thing I don't want to do. I don't want to throw unneeded pressure on our kids and say we're going to win. Sure. But I'm going to say this. I don't put a damn thing past this team. This team tonight, they play like in another dimension. But your point is well taken. If they could just put some kind of at this point, man, I don't even need 60 minutes. Give me 45 good minutes of football. You know what I mean? We're playing 30-minute games. We played 30 minutes tonight. Again, and we almost won the game. Thank you for the phone call. Great.
Not on. When your guy is not on, don't throw to Malone, who is totally not in the game.
Oh, my gosh.
We've got all these other weapons, and then who was the other guy not in the game?
How about Williams? He can't get on the field. You can't find him with a search warrant right now.
I mean, don't force it. Just because the media says Malone's your tallest big playmaker, we know we got other ones. Let somebody else. It's like when you got the hot hand in basketball, you feed the rock. You feed the rock. Unlike Rick Barnes. Well, I don't want to know what Rick Barnes is going to do this year.
Another shot at Barnes. Wow. We're excited.
So we'll see.
Hey, thank you, brother.
I'll let you go. Y'all have a good one.
Good talking to you, man. Go Balls, back to you. 865-200-5402. You know, Bino, our defense did play well enough to win that game tonight, if you think about it.
Oh, they absolutely did, Tony. I mean, our offense put them in really bad position for most all of the first half. And they kept us in the game. And at the end, they're out there just running on fumes. You know, not only we talk a lot about not having those guys available that are starters, but it just makes everyone else have to play so many plays too. It's amazing that they're able to make any plays whatsoever. at the end of the game.
Somebody asked if on Periscope if we could talk about who all's injured. I don't even know where to begin.
I told you, Tony, I'm out of here at 12:30. There ain't no way. We'd be here at 2:30 talking about everybody's injured.
But the word is right now, here's who we got. Here's who I think got hurt today. Wiseman's got something going on. He got just clobbered. McDowell and his issue. O'Brien and who knows what's going to happen there. Who am I neglecting right now coming out of that game? There was one other offensive lineman. Somebody help me here.
Jayshon Robertson got
Robertson.
Hurt. Tony, the thing about tonight's game is I'm uncertain how many of our guys that got
hurt
injured
back
are going to be extended injured.
I know.
That's the thing. Every one of those guys may be back out there with the possible exception of Danny O'Brien.
Right. And here's the issue. We saw this last week. Tennessee's going to take every precaution.
Yeah.
Every precaution. With these concussions.
Yeah.
And they are happening at a way too rapid pace. These are kids. I want football to be here in 10 years. And that's scary.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
And Tony, I want to beat Alabama as badly as anyone in this fan base.
Yes.
But anyone that is questionable next week,
yep,
with the open date coming the following week, and the last five games of the season, as important as they're going to be, I'm not rushing anybody back out there to play against Alabama because it's Alabama.
865-200-5402 is our number if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. Really, 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 really proud of the effort tonight. And apparently a lot of class being shown by the A&M and Tennessee fans toward each other and a lot of civility. And one of the strangest developments so far this year, and I want to unpack this with Tony Robinson on our TV show this week, because Tony told me, watching a bunch of summer camp, that Preston Williams was going to blow up and have a huge year. Preston Williams, if I'm not mistaken, had a multi-catch game, I want to say the first game of the season, and I don't know that he's caught more than two balls the rest of the way. I mean, you can't find him right now with a search warrant. Really strange. Really, really, really strange. That's a strange deal right there. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, hey, it's Bo. How y'all doing?
Hey, Bo, welcome in, man.
Listen, man, I appreciate what y'all do. You know, ball fans getting their fix, and you helping us get through it. Beno, I appreciate you staying up late, brother.
Hey, listen, man, it's an absolute pleasure.
Let me hit you with a couple things, Tony, and then I know you got some folks on the line. But
yeah, go for it, man. Go for it.
As far as the hit with Nigel Warrior, Beno, let me ask you this. If that was Eddie Jackson for Alabama that made that crackback block, is that even a flag thrown there at all, brother?
No, it's probably unnecessary roughness on Texas A&M.
No, wait.
Let me just tell you something, though. Who hits harder in the league than anybody?
Alabama.
Do they ever get any targeting penalties, Tony? You know what? Bielema went on the field tonight, brother.
Here's a question somebody asked me earlier, and you tell me. Have we had one called in our favor this year?
Well, you know, 2 weeks in a row. Dobbs last week, Barry tonight.
Exactly.
Both, you know what?
Brain-crushing hits. Those were two egregious. The one tonight on the kick return, which is a fumble and 7 points for them, is a brain splitter. That's an absolute crown of the helmet. Vicious shot. That's non-negotiable.
I'll tell you this, Tony. I couldn't get in after the Florida game, but I want to tell you, and I never heard anybody bring it up. In that game, somehow, by the grace of God, there was not one single play that went under further review. Not one play, if you go back and look at that, Beano, not a single play. And we got it rolling second half and everything, you know, but they made up for it today. You may sound, people may say it's sour grapes when you turn it over seven times. Yeah, you shouldn't even have been in the ball game.
Right.
But I'm sick and tired of it being one or two calls.